One of the high points of our ministry here at West River Bible Church is when you sent Suzanne and myself to Cameroon to visit three GFA missionaries, two that we supported. And it was a real pivotal time, I think, for Jim and Jenna. I remember him having a heart to translate the Word of God to Kotoko people. No, it's Kotoko. See, the Lord used him anyway. No, Kotoko people. And even though he didn't have a whole lot of training in translation, we saw the burden that was there before he got placed into this ministry. So over the years, watching the Lord move him from one field to another and bring him and put him in the position he's in now doesn't come as a complete surprise to us, because the burden was there even before some of the formal training finished up. And I'll let him finish telling you about that, but he's got a report for us this morning, and then he'll preach to us in the hour to follow. Jim?
Good morning. Good to be with y'all again. And one thing about Pastor Hamilton, his pronunciation is always consistent. really, he probably pronounced it the Kotoko way, you know, and I probably had it wrong, but. So that was a blessing for Pastor and Mrs. Hamilton to be there in Northern Cameroon with us. And it really does bond missionaries to a pastor and his family when they visit on the field. And so I want to start, though, here with Psalm 48:1 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly he is to be praised." So, because we know that in Psalm 139, we know that the Lord knows us. He thoroughly knows all of who we are and our circumstances of our lives. He is greatly to be praised, because he, in Psalm 130, forgives our sin. He remembers that we're dust, and he knows that we sin and we are weak and vulnerable, yet he forgives. There is forgiveness with the Lord. Psalm 65, the Lord hears prayer. And unto him all flesh comes and must come, even the Son of Man prayed in his humanity, needing the divinity of the Father. And then Psalm 44, the Lord redeems us for the sake of his loving kindness. So we have a great God and greatly to be praised, and to have songs sung and ministered and songs to be written. And I appreciate West River Bible Church, Pastor Hamilton, and how you have done that here. And if we are to love him with all of our being, then surely we should praise him greatly with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength as well. Maybe you say, "You don't know what a sinner I am." Well, Luke 7 says that if you've sinned a lot, then by repentance, you're forgiven a lot, and then you have the opportunity to what? Love a lot. Maybe more than others. So, either way, we have a good path available for us. Well, I just want to get a little bit of an update, and maybe we can have some time for some questions. And then we'll show a video and then some PowerPoint. Our family, so we've got Jenna and Andrew and Daniel with us today. Caleb is now headed down to South Carolina. He had come up with his girlfriend, Kathleen. We were together these last few days, all of us. Kathleen got to see the farm. This is 50 acres over in eastern Ohio that my parents own, that I grew up going to, just weekend trips and stuff. Just you know, out in the woods and a little cabin that is just no running water and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, Jenna and I were there for 3 or 4 months before we started into deputation. So that was our African training school. But we got to see this. So when one of the right guys, whether that was me way back 25 years ago, or it's our son, the girl we're trying to get to know, we take them to the farm. Oh, that's serious now. So we got to spend that time together these last few days. And my brother Mike, his son Noah, got married this past Friday down in Mount Oreb near Cincinnati. So we've had some family time together. Grace is at Maranatha Baptist University studying missions and counseling and working a good number of hours. She got to work at a camp this past summer, Wolf Mountain Camp in Northern California. And so she was a wrangler this time, and she had been involved with the horsemanship as well last year, but especially this year. And through her being there, there was a plea for anyone who would want to give to her schooling at Maranatha because of her work there at the camp, and the Lord provided over $7,000. And some of that was part of a matching gift that's still to arrive sometime in the fall or before January, but the bulk of that was available for us. So that was huge for that school bill. And next summer, she's planning to do her missions internship in Japan, in Tokyo. Did I say that right, Pastor Hamilton? pray for Grace, and hope to see her sometime soon. We need to make that trip through Chicago again and get over there. Andrew is here. He's a senior, working as well as more courses at home from home and studying music, piano and guitar, and voice, and composition. All of them are happening right now. And then Daniel, he's 9, and he's homeschooled. Jenna's been homeschooling. Jenna's been homeschooling somebody in our family since 2009, 8, 9, something like that. So, yeah, a long time. And so Daniel loves being with his brothers, some more than others. But especially Caleb. So Caleb's 22, Daniel's 9. All right, so we are just thankful that this past summer especially, Jenna and I, we teach a Kids for Truth class on Wednesday nights, so that's kind of our outreach opportunity with real people, because I do a lot of study, you know, so we love to have the opportunity to train and teach young people. And so we've got the 3rd to 5th graders on Wednesday nights, and that picked up again actually this fall. But through the summer, we have the neighborhood Bible time, vacation Bible school type thing. And our neighbors down the street from us, now we live about 30 minutes from church. So we've been inviting our neighbors for a number of, some of these children then came for the first time. Some of them, first time in a church. And so we've been able to also continue to take them as their parents or they want to go on Wednesdays, and we transport them. And let's say we're learning about bus driving, but we have that opportunity with them. Pray for that opportunity as we connect with parents down the street. And this is an open door. Definitely been waiting for this and praying for this for many years. And now we have this opportunity to connect with parents and children. And Jenna always is a witness with selling her plants. She has different opportunities to do this, different locations, including a diner not too far down the road from us that she go ask if she could put plants in the windowsills and places around on the tables where then she can sell these plants. She puts the name of it plus a gospel witness and a business size card, business card size gospel witness on it as well. And she has that witness as well as opportunities to sell plants on certain Saturday venue locations. And this past time, I joined her for the last one that we had in a certain town. And there was this girl and her mother that sell things next to them. And I guess they've connected in the past. But the girl's name is Lulu. And wow, she just very expressive, very talkative, just like under 12 years old. But her parents not saved, not kind of humanistic by confession. But pray for her. We'll see her again in another week and pray for opportunity. You know, when I met them, and of course Jenna had already met them before, but as I thought about their, you know, sort of distancing from anything religious or God, that night I just kept waking up like through the night, and I just kept thinking, the Lord just put on my mind, the law is written on their hearts. The law is written on their hearts. Like they're not without witness. They have the witness of creation, they have the witness of the law written on their hearts. So we pray that we'll have opportunity to give a clear gospel message too. Thank you for your prayers for us, for our support. We're at about 84% now. We'd come up from 75 now to 84. And thank you for your gift that you gave, the $3,000 that would help us get out into new churches, raise new support. We still have about 1,250 of that available for through this fall. And we had a church that gave us earlier on in the summer 12 gift cards, 10 Aldi gift cards, $100 each, 2 Walmart cards, $500 each. And when the pastor of the church, it's Heritage Hills Bible Church, y'all be glad about that, right? Bible Church. It's a little bit, about an hour south of where we live. When I met up with the pastor, he said, I've got some gift cards for you. And he just starts handing one after another to me, you know. And then he hands me this $500 Walmart card. And he says, hold on, I got some more. And he goes in and he hands me another one. And wow. That, and with arrangement with our mission, is if we do receive gift cards, we're able to use them immediately. And so we were able to go to grocery shopping and just know it was there for a number of months, really. And then also even just to get a phone for our daughter. Her phone was getting out of date and wasn't able to use certain apps anymore, so that helped us provide that for her too. So just thankful for the Lord's provision that way. And as far as my work with BI, we were able to finish now the book of Ezekiel. Pastor Telfort and I, with the Haitian Creole Old Testament online, were able to finish the book of Ezekiel. Now we have the book of Job left. And then he's got all that to translate. He'll translate portions of it. Then we'll go over that. Pastor Telford, of course, is down in Haiti where there's a lot of unrest. And he's now in the midst of moving his family. He'd moved a few years ago trying to get a more secure location. Now he's moving again, trying to just have the security and arrangement needed for his family. And then also the Muslim Tot Project. Right now, co-workers are over there working with the Tot team, working in John and in Acts, and progressing on with the New Testament there. My assignment with them currently is to continue working on a linguistic analysis of the language. So I love doing that, but the last several months have been very busy with traveling and with Bible BI consultant seminar, which takes a number of weeks of my time. But now I'm looking forward here now, this last quarter of the year, to get into that linguistic analysis. And that's to help me particularly do a better job of reading their language. So pray for me in that. Also, now we have several African projects. Oh, by the way, Did you notice the shirt I was wearing? I don't often do this, but I discovered it. From my last trip to Chad, I had acquired a few things that I hadn't had, we hadn't had before. One of these little wire basket type things that's really a place to put charcoal in, and it's made of wire so the air can come in, and you then heat up the charcoal, and then you put a pot that or a kettle to heat up water, or you can put some corn on the cob on it or something, you know, to get that fired corn. I had one of those. I had a teapot. I had some glasses that they use for tea. And but then I discovered, oh yeah, I have the shirt. So wanted to wear it today. I don't often do it, but I just really wanted to this time. And so there are a number of BI African projects that are in the process of finishing up or have finished up recently. So of course you may have already heard about the Songo revision and Bible that was finished up. That was a Bible that was finished up in 1966, but then now there's been a revision, and that has been printed again and is getting its way into primarily CAR. As well, the Sadamajangay has finished. We're going to be seeing a video of the Sadamajangay project that was done a few years ago, but it gives a good real African feel there in that video. I was able to help some with the Sadamajangay project, but again, those just a little bit, but that is now finally completed. The last we heard was that the Bibles are on a container, as well as I believe the Sada Kabadem project has also finished their Bible, and those Bibles are on a container as well, but they've been sitting outside of the port outside of Douala, Cameroon, because they're just sort of backed up with the shipping. And so pray that those will get through and then be trucked over to Chad, southern Chad. And then the Dai, D-A-Y, but it's pronounced Dai, Bible is just about to be finished as well. And Lord willing, those Bibles will be available in Chad probably earlier, mid-next year. So several projects being finished up where the Old Testament's still had to be done, and those are being finished, and then now those Bibles are complete. My coworker Josh Hedges is, by the way, he always wears Ohio State stuff up there in Michigan. So he's from Lima, Blue Lick area. But he actually is still able to get back into Chad. Now, I don't know if Michael Carlisle mentioned this last week, possibly, where Chad is kind of got a block on visas for Americans to get in. But if anyone has an existing visa, they can still get in until that visa expires. Usually they're not more than a year. And so Josh Hedges still has an opportunity to get back in one more time, probably this fall, to help the Dai like make their final decisions about questions they have, and then that Dai Bible can go to print. Another, and maybe Michael mentioned this as well, but Anna Beth Wivel, she grew up as an MK in Australia, so she has an Australian passport. So she's able to just tuck away her American passport and pull out her Australian passport, and she got another year in Chad. So if y'all want to get a dual citizenship somewhere, you know, that might help you. And Annabeth has done a lot of the work on these Sadamajangay and Sada Kabadem projects. And now she's picking up with the Ngam, which I had been involved with for somewhat. But she's really now the main consultant on that project. So this last trip, did I tell you about my last trip to Chad? I can't remember if I did. It was like last November. And I'll try to make it short because I can drag this one out really long. But so I'm on the flight, and I pretty much believe it's my last trip to Chad for connecting with the Ngam project. It could be my last trip to Chad, totally. I'm more involved with the Haitian Creole and the Muslim Tot. So just really went into it with that thinking. And the Lord just gave me a number of gifts, kind of like on my last trip. And so as I'm flying from Paris down to Jamena, capital of Chad, I had this folder about this big. It's got information in it, and then I had this Bible too. But I'm on that flight, and there's a lot of African people and people that could they be terrorists? I don't know, but you know, I just thought I'm going to put my Bible back away in this overhead compartment, and I don't know if I should. I shouldn't display it. Really, you know, not ashamed or hiding it, but just sometimes wise as serpent. And so I had this folder as well, and I was like, put my Bible down, and I was like trying to open this bin, and my folder dropped down and hit a guy on the head. And so, oh wow, so much for trying to be, you know, just sort of, you know, calm about this. So I picked it up, I apologized to him, and he could have been a Chadian or Nigerian headed to Jamena, but then beside him was another guy, and he ended up talking to me a little bit later. But then, so after I put the folder away, then I just sort of tried to put the Bible away. And well, that guy on the other side by the window saw what I did. He saw me put my Bible away, because he came back later and he comes up to me, and he's from Nigeria. He's a pastor from Nigeria. And he said, "Are you a missionary?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I want to support you." And he gave me $200, four fifties. And I didn't do this, you know. And I said, wow, I'm just kind of stunned, you know. And he had done it really low key. And then he went back to his seat. And I thought, you know, I don't know what kind of strings might be attached here. I don't know what's going on here. And I think as well that I'm not a missionary there all the time, you know. And he also invited me to speak in Nigeria for him. I thought, well, I can't just, like, pop over to Nigeria. So maybe I better tell him, like, I'm on a trip, 2.5-week trip. I'm not really a full-time missionary in Chad. Maybe if he knows more, I was ready to give the money back, really. Because I just want to make sure he knew who he was giving it to. So I started to talk with him, and he asked if the other guy could sit in my seat while I sat beside him, Pastor Emmanuel. And so I start to describe to him what I do and kind of my limitation and what I do. And so he pulls up his robe and he pulls out a stack of $100 bills. And he gives me three more hundred. Okay, I said, let me tell you about myself some more. No, I didn't say that. I just said, wow. And so anyway, I was just amazed, of course. So I go back to my seat. I've got $500 in American dollars. And I just knew right then. And he said I could use it however I wanted. And I just knew right then. That was a gift from the Lord to invest in Chad before I left. And so that was at the beginning of the trip. So I got into Chad, and then I was able to go to a bookstore that I got 20 French Bibles with some of that money. They were able to be given out in different contexts, including a friend from back in Cameroon, from Kusri, Cameroon, who had come back, who came over to visit with me. And he had with him, this was a believer, longtime believer, he had with him a recent convert out of the religion there. And so I was able to give 8 of those Bibles to them. And that other convert's Christian name was also Emmanuel. And so what does that mean? God with us. And there were some other contexts. I was able to share that money with another former friend from Cameroon, Alain, who's in Chad. And he'd been going through a really hard time, gotten scammed into owing money. And so I was able to give money to him because he had been working this job to work this debt off that really wasn't his, but to have money for his family. And then also for the translators to have money to get back to their home villages, it was starting to cost a lot more. And sometimes it can wipe out a couple weeks of pay for them to just take a trip. So, and I was able to WhatsApp Pastor Emmanuel from Nigeria, let him know where the money had gone. And I kept sending different separate texts, just delineating where it had all gone. And after about the third time, he's like, "Oh, you don't have to let me know. It's okay. I celebrate you, sir." I was like, "I celebrate you." So it was just really amazing, you know? And I just remember a lot of times as I've gone through to the flights to Chad, a lot of times we'll have a stopover in Nigeria, and it's just at the airport. So it's not even, we don't even get off the plane. But here some people get off, and some more people come on from Nigeria, just tall people, just big boned, and they got all their stuff, and I mean, they got the latest Disney stuff, and they got phones, and it's like, this is a whole other nation that we don't even hear about, except for some basketball players that are famous now from that lived in Greece and then came to the States. But we get emails that are not real emails, maybe from Nigeria or something, and that's kind of like our only context. But it was like, it just one day, it was like wow, I don't think I really had any idea. Just this is Nigeria nation. It's huge. And they need help. There are a lot of believers there. There's a lot of terrorism there too. And that's why we had to leave Cameroon. So there were some other things too that I, the special gifts that the Lord gave me on that trip, but that was really the main one. And even coming back through the Paris airport on the way back, I was just chatting with a guy that I was buying some French pastries from, said that we had studied in Bordeaux. And he tells me, he basically gave me half the pastries for free. It's like, I just threw in you bought four, I gave you two of that kind for free. And you bought four of those, I'm giving two of those for free. You know? And it was just like, wow, that's Paris airport. I'm an American, you know. So anyway, but very thankful that also the Ngam project is continuing on with Annabeth, the one that has the Australian passport, and she's able to carry on with that project. So we're going to watch now a video of the Sada Majin guy that was not yet complete at the time when they did the video, but now it's complete, and that those Bibles are sitting out there on the ocean and ready to get into the African shore. Okay, so we have some slides to go through, but maybe just briefly, are there any questions for clarification or interest? Yes?
Just kind of a general question. When you approach a new language, what kind of order do you translate the books? Is it the same all the time, or does it vary?
Bibles International has established a list of the order that's generally followed. And of course, talking about the New Testament, then Mark is often translated first as the Gospels. Then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and they get back to another Gospel. So it kind of, until you work with, through the, from, you know, simpler almost, text to more difficult. So some of your epistles are more difficult, of course, because it's a lot more logic and much is said in small amounts, especially John, but Hebrews, you know. So those are the things that take a little more time to explore the language to pull all the right words in. Yes, sir. I'm not familiar that the BI had done a Burmese. There are other languages in Myanmar, of course. But I'm just not as familiar with it. Yeah.
When you try to redo the Sango Bible, do you find that there's a lot of correction needs to be done, or are these early translations really pretty good, or what
do you find? I have to probably ask one of the other consultants, Glenn Kerr, who had done a good bit of work on that. He just recently retired, but he's still involved with some projects. He's been involved with a lot of projects. But he had given some examples, certain vocabulary references that just had shifted over the years, or maybe it was using more French at the time, and now they don't use those words. So it's really just a matter of clarity and matching what the Old and New Testament text said all along, and now taking the current vocabulary that matches it. Because over time, use an older language, in time that language shifts, so it no longer matches. So we have to shift it back to match. So that's why it's needed. So we haven't changed, and I know we often are, this is a big debates, right, about these kinds of things. So the goal is not to shift what has been firmly established, but to match and keep matching what that, you know, where that's together, you know. So it doesn't mean we just have to go do new stuff for the sake of new stuff, but we want to be accurate. Okay, any other questions, comments? Okay, let's go to the PowerPoint. I don't know, will that be just something that you advance up there? Okay. We probably won't go through all of it, Dave, but just we'll see where we are about quarter after, 20 after. So if you could go ahead and advance the next slide, but we obviously want to just focus a little bit more on Africa as amazing continent in the world. You can see there from that slide how many other countries can fit inside of the space of Africa. United States, China, India, some of the European countries, and so you can see where it's just massive. Now, of course, there's a good portion of that, the Sahara Desert, but there are, okay, next slide. 54 countries, if you count the Western Sahara, that would be 55, it's disputed, but 54 countries in Africa, okay? These are showing those locations of the, what would be the considered the West African in blue, the North African yellow, Central African in orange, East in green, and then the Southern African states in pink in there at the South. Linguistically very diverse here, showing by color the variations of in the spreading out of the linguistic diversity, and where a lot of it is somewhat similar too, and where there's a lot of difference. Africa is the most linguistically diverse continent in the world. SIO International, through its publication Ethnologue, identifies 2,167 languages in Africa. So I think that's sufficient to read that part. And then, so there are, and it varies from time to time, but progress.bible says there are 7,401 languages in the world, and there are 762, so a little over 10% of complete Bibles. And then 1,700 New Testaments completed. In addition to that, 1,200, or close to 1,300, have selections or stories only. And then there are almost half of the languages don't have anything of the scripture. And 2,000 some are nothing started yet. So that now that equates, that doesn't equate, we can misrepresent, right, statistics. So we could, but really that only, they say, accounts for 175 million people. Well, how many billion people are in the world today? They say, right, 8 billion now. So we're talking about a fraction of 1 billion that doesn't have anything of God's word in their language. And many of these languages, well, are people that know these certain languages. They know other languages that have come into the region. But there's still many million people that do not have it in a language that would speak to their heart and that would add authority of the scriptures to their experience and to accepting it at all or changing a religion to becoming a believer. Okay. Africa's population over 1.5 billion, Africa's second most populous continent, accounting for roughly 18 to 19% of the world's population of 8 billion. As of 2023, approximately 45% of Africa's population resides in urban areas, like city-type areas. So it's not just all the mud hut out in the middle of nowhere. Top most populous African countries you can see listed: Nigeria, 229 million. The largest nation populous in Africa and sixth in the world, USA, about 347 million. Okay? So Africa, full of people. Operation World suggests that there may be 417,000 Protestant missionaries across the continent with 1.5 billion, 1,500,000 people, and that there could be as many as 200 million evangelical Christians in Africa. So God has reached a great number, and yet the need is still so great, and for teaching. So that's another thing I wanted to point out, too, is that just because a language has a Bible, well, how many people in China have a Bible? Even though there's a Chinese Bible, do they have access to it? Do they have it? Do they even know it's available? Do they have anyone to explain it to them? So you see, there's just a vast need for missions at every part, not just the translation. And that's my burden. I want to help translate, but I want to teach too. And we've had these number of years now, 10 years with BI, 8 years living in West Michigan. Does the Lord have maybe a placement of us? We're praying about that, where we would continue being involved in translation, but maybe additional roles in ministry or in missions. Just a collage of pictures of Africans. Came across this picture right here. Just really, here's something too. Of course, we've seen these satellite views of the world where at night you see the light amount of light that's coming from places where there's a lot of electricity. And look at Africa. This was even just a quote done by Bill Gates said by Bill Gates in 2016. And he's, of course, emphasizing the need for humanitarian aid, right? But this would probably illustrate as well, wouldn't it not, spiritual need? That these are, it doesn't mean that places in the States or Europe, just because they have electricity, they automatically don't have spiritual need. But let's face it, right? I mean, if David Livingstone went into the heart of Africa and others, because it was just a place of spiritual darkness and the gospel had not been sent there or gone there. All right, so this will be the last slide. I had actually about 30 more slides of Cameroon, and Mrs. Hamilton's in one of those pictures with Bonnie Studdard doing some sewing with the ladies. But I had this PowerPoint, most of this PowerPoint, at another church where I'd done it for the first time a week or two ago. And I didn't finish it there either. But so what is Matthew 9:36-38? But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Well, we saw statistics, right? The harvest is plenteous in Africa, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And there have been laborers sent. We rejoice with what God has done. We pray for those who have gone, but then we also ask for more. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, to come to us, that you would reach us, and that we would have the Bible. Thank you so much. We are privileged. Thank you for Westerville Bible Church and for these great believers here, brothers and sisters in Christ. And thank you, Lord, how they have supported missions in many ways. And Lord, we ask that you will send forth laborers into your harvest, into Africa, that you will raise up those who will be able to train others, who will train others, that those with the giftedness in that you have given them will be able to use their giftedness in ways that multiplicity of ways to reach people and to share the gospel and to teach and to preach and to provide the Bible into their hands. So we pray that you will extend your kingdom today and as a result of this whole month of missions emphasis. In Jesus' name, amen.